Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's up, San Diego? Welcome in. Gwynn and Chris, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Sello, Matt Scraby.
Got to change the open there.
Why? What happened?
Because Gwynn and Chris are not ready to go. Gwynn is ready to go.
Oh, Chris is not ready to go.
Braden was blabbing on, and I was actually
You were
engaged.
Entertaining the conversation.
I was. That's what I mean. I got caught up in his conversation, and I forgot to sign on to the computer, or I didn't get to it. So I'll be joining the video part of the program shortly.
All right.
Yes. Maybe, if my computer responds here.
4 hour show for you today. We'll talk to Matt Snyder, CBS Sports.
Hey, all right.
Little Padres pen pal in the 3 o'clock hour. J.D. Luster, assistant coach for the men's San Diego State basketball team, will join us, talk a little bit about their victory here earlier this week. And, Scraby, I heard you were on a soapbox yesterday on a, I think, a serious subject in terms of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that at some point today.
I was also asked today what, I don't know how this came up with my wife and I this morning, but the question put to me was, what is your favorite thing you're going to do today? So I was thinking of the day ahead, and I was like, what am I looking forward to the most? And I have to be, you know, totally honest with you. The first thing that came into my head was, kind of looking forward to our NFL playoff pick segment today.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be really fun. It's going to be hard to pick this year. I think the games are going to be good. But I did not quickly answer that way to my wife. I didn't think she would take too kindly to that response.
Ah, you didn't give her your initial thought.
I didn't give her that response. I gave her, you know, when you get home later and we're able to cuddle with the dog a little bit. That's what I came up with. That's what I said.
Did she see through that?
Probably. She humored me.
Okay.
But right. Yeah, my first thought was, I'm really looking forward to the NFL picks. I mean, I don't know, for some reason I've been waiting all week and can't wait to, you know, get in on this and see how we do on our picks.
With where we talked about Rasheed Rice, I thought he was going to say that.
I thought he was going there too. But
oh, enjoy really? Trashing Rasheed Rice. But I'm glad you did not say that.
Yeah, Rasheed Rice is he's easy target today. So.
The other thing that I did not realize until Chris said it in the text chain was we got ourselves a college playoff football game.
Right, there's a game tonight.
Oh, yeah. You're a sports liker too, then.
Didn't even dawn on me.
Well,
until
you know
you
why?
Said it.
It's fair, I think, for you and most people not to even think and realize that there's the Miami Ole Miss semifinal, and that's college football's fault.
Yeah.
Because all we're talking about in college football is everything that's wrong with the sport.
100%.
Nobody's talking about these games, you know, and it's really kind of a shame.
You know how the NFL puts a kibosh on any news coming out during postseason play, things of that nature? Like,
they have a reason they do it.
100%.
Yeah.
And right now, college football is fumbling. Because we're talking about the NIL and guys, you know, changing transfers.
The University of Washington quarterback is, you know, now the new poster child for everything that's wrong.
That's all that we're talking
about. That's all we're talking about.
And so, yeah, it didn't even dawn on us that today Miami and Ole Miss will lock horns.
Should be a great game. You've got an unbelievable defense going up against what looks to be a pretty dynamic offense and a really good quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's be a great game tonight, but no one cares about it. Tomorrow, Indiana and Oregon, which I think is another high level, great game, and it's too bad we're not excited about those.
Yeah, no, it's certainly not the best. What's the word I'm looking for?
The NCAA barely has leadership.
Not the best marketing.
Right,
that's
what I was going to say. They barely have leadership, so you can't expect them to have somebody there, you know, working on marketing and promotion. I mean, they can't get out of their own way.
In other news, I think this might be one of the things that you may not have been looking forward to, but certainly had to raise your eyebrow in a way that made you happy was
I had known this was going to happen, it would have been an easy answer.
Miami Dolphins
fired
their head coach.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think as you started, as the John Harbaugh thing started to kind of settle in, we're starting to see more teams start to kind of...
They're looking in their own building, and they're going, wait a minute.
They are. They're 100%. And so Miami is the first one to jump out there in terms of, oh, yeah, I guess maybe we can look to see of a change now with a guy like John Harbaugh available. And listen, it may not be done because I don't think Mike Tomlin is out of the woods. Now, I've said
I think you're right, Tony. If they lose Monday night, people in Pittsburgh are going to go, wow, this is another year of, you know.
Still haven't got a playoff
victory.
That's
right. I think that's a good point.
And I think...
Could you imagine him going across the river to Baltimore?
Man.
I mean, from Baltimore to Pittsburgh? Oh, man.
I mean, listen, it hasn't been lost on me that if Pittsburgh doesn't win, which is the last game, I believe. They play Monday night.
Yeah.
We could very well see more movement. And
that's listen, fair point.
I think teams that have coaches, there's no way that they're not. Unless, you know, you're one of the creme de la cremes that somehow missed it. Andy Reid. Who else we missed in the playoffs this year?
Yeah, there's some people
there's
that
a
have.
A couple teams that have coaches.
Look, if I was Jerry Jones, I'd be thinking I made a wrong call. I thought he made a wrong call before the season
started.
Here's
the thing, though. Here's the thing that Jerry Jones has him working against him, I think, is I don't know that a John Harbaugh or Mike Tomlin is going to want to coach
be controlled
under those rules.
That is one thing the Dolphins do have going for them that you said earlier this week, because the Dolphin owner is mostly asleep. So he doesn't know what's happening.
Listen, he is more than willing to let whatever coaches do whatever it is he thinks they need to do.
I honestly think you can almost jokingly say that he didn't fire Mike McDaniel till today because it took him this long to realize their season was over.
he was literally asleep.
Yeah, you had to rouse him from his slumber. Just a quick thought on the Mike McDaniel. People have been texting me today and say, "Oh, your dream came true, and you're excited." I don't like to see anyone even, get fired, even if it's somebody I think kind of should. I thought Mike McDaniel, I said it all along, I love this guy in terms of his personality. He was a breath of fresh air compared to a lot of coaches. And he certainly belongs somewhere as a coordinator because he's really smart about football.
49ers.
Well, maybe so. I mean, he could go back there.
Robert Saleh did it.
He might. But the bottom line, and ESPN put it in the story, he was 4-17 against winning teams. And that was going to be his, thing. He could beat bad teams. He could not beat a good team.
If you go back to even their good years before it seemingly fell apart, they continually struggled against a better team.
And they didn't just lose to good teams. They weren't even in the games most of the time.
No.
So I just think this was a decision that had to be made. And I also think it was fair, and I almost like the fact that they gave it a week and a half to 10 days to at least let it simmer before they decided. Whereas every other team can't wait for the last game to fire their coach.
Yeah.
So
that was probably the development that we didn't see coming until it was announced this morning.
Yes, I want to thank you so much because
I was so happy for you when it happened.
Normally when Tony sends stuff at 7:20 in the morning or whenever, it's not something I'm going to get to for a couple of hours. But this was something that attracted my interest right away.
I figured it would. So, 4 hours of Gwen and Chris today. Everyone's here. Chris will be here for the long haul. Now, Chris, you're out tomorrow, correct? You got a game to get
to. Yes, a really bad travel day, but Utah State, because we got a flight and a bus tomorrow.
Real quick, can we talk a little bit about the Aztec women before we go to break? They got another nice victory, 11-3 now.
11-3. They've won 7 in a row. We wouldn't normally get them in the first segment of the show, but I was broadcasting a game last night against a team that is not bad, Grand Canyon, and the Aztecs led the game 40-9. Early in the second quarter. I haven't seen too many men's teams come out of the gate and go 7-for-7 on threes in the first quarter. Yeah, that's pretty good shooting for any squad at any level. So they really, yeah, they're playing great right now. But they, it's going to be a good, long, fun season for them, and good for Stacey, Terry, Hudson, and you know those kids. They're playing really, really, really well right now. I think the one lady, young lady, who's really stepped up is the San Diego kid, Bailey Barnhart.
Yeah, we had Bailey on.
We had Bailey on earlier this year. She was a little behind her classmates, Panganiban and Nat Martinez, because they all three came in the same year last year, but the two guards played last year.
She had some girls in front of her that were pretty good.
She had girls in front of her, so she didn't get to play last year, and she's getting her chance now. So it's, I like to see, you know, two San Diego kids on this team that are really playing well, her and Panganiban. But, yeah, the men are – look, we're going to have J.D. Luster on. I'm looking forward to asking him. Everybody thinks this is a disaster season, except for the fact that you're in first place.
Right.
Like the men and the women both are undefeated. So good for both of them.
I'm really interested to hear what it was that the staff liked from those guys in the last game.
They think this was the corner turn.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Just a reminder, we're broadcasting live from the Bill Howe Studios. We know how. Let's get to break. On the other side, we're going to get into that Rashid Rice situation that he's got going.
I'm
going
to let Scraby take that one. I'll add assistance if need be.
Thank you, Chris.
The Buccaneers get in on the firing of coaches thing. They kept their head coach.
Wait, what?
They got rid of the OC. And
it was the OCs and the quarterback coaches' fault.
I will say, we have speculated that that Baker wasn't healthy, but the offense certainly plummeted.
It did.
From the beginning of the season when we were talking about MVP to where we got at the end of the season. I'm not saying it's because of Josh Grizzard, but I'm saying there is some reason there.
And I'm saying it's a bad
look.
Fault.
I do. I think it's a bad look when you got a mediocre head coach and then they fire the two assistants. I just do.
Now, I did think about this earlier, and I was like, maybe they were just really were bad employees. Like, maybe that's what it is.
You don't know what's going on behind
the
scenes.
Maybe they weren't doing what they were supposed to do.
True. All right, let's get to break. We'll talk more about that on the other side. More Gwen and Chris.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there is no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, Gwen and Chris, underway Thursday. Tony detailed for you. Good show. Matt Snyder, baseball, coming up shortly. J.D. Luster, Aztec basketball, 4 o'clock hour, NFL picks. I have to wait for the final hour of the program for those. Coming up right around 5:30 today, remember to listen. We will announce today's biggest fan, and that fan will have a chance to qualify for the night in our Odyssey suite at a future Padres game with all of the fan staff. It'll be catered by Spiro's Mediterranean Cuisine. Register your name if you haven't already at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. That's the only way to have your name potentially called and most likely mispronounced by one of us on the air. That's later. Oh, man, I had some, you know, I was right in the middle of saying that. And I'm like, and as soon as I'm done with this, I'm going to seamlessly transition to the next thing. Except I don't remember what that was. So
I think maybe Rashee Rice.
Oh, yes. We were going to get into that.
I don't think there's a way to seamlessly transition to that one.
Should we have seen it coming? Is that overstating it? This is bad.
I mean, anything in the future, I guess we can say that.
I don't
know
that we should see this coming from anybody.
Yeah,
honestly.
You're right. All right, go ahead, Scrab. Get him.
No, hey.
Well, look, he was on your fantasy team. You got to control this guy a little bit.
We tried. No, my thing last night was, and if you didn't hear, Rashee Rice has been accused by his girlfriend of 8 years, who is also the mother of his children, accused of, what's the word I'm looking for? assault. There you go.
Yes.
And she posted pictures with bruising on her face, on her legs, you know, on her chest. And so it's not a great situation. And she put in the Instagram.
She didn't use his name, but she did say. She pointed but saying his name.
Yes. And she said that she's done covering for him because he's not a good guy. And she's been doing it for a while. And so she's now taking her piece back. And that's why she's letting everybody know what's going on here. So what I said last night on the Scravy Show was, I am really getting tired of the NFL looking the other way just because a guy could play football well. Just because they win. I'm tired of it.
I think that's a fair comment, but the one part that's not fair is that they're not the only people who look the other way. NFL.
I'll say everybody.
I think it's kind of widespread.
Yes. I'll say everybody.
Okay.
I'll say all sports.
All right. And
like,
how about all walks of life?
Yes.
Actors, actresses, singers.
Yep.
These people all get second, third chances if they can, you know, sell tickets.
You know, yes, exactly. And
it's a fact.
I want people to live in the same world that we do, where if I say something, it'll get me fired. Other people, it doesn't get them fired. Yeah. But
unrealistic to hope for.
Upset with the Chiefs. And I'm upset with the Chiefs because the Chiefs have a pattern of bringing in guys that are not great guys. Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt, Rashee Rice. And they just look the other way, it seems like. When they're doing their investigations on these players, when they go talk to the childhood friends, because they do that, when they go do that, they should find out that this guy is actually not a great guy, and they should not draft him.
Does it not start at the top before Tony gets in? I mean, Andy Reid has been involved in a lot of stuff. Not that I don't think he himself has done.
No, it's his son
family.
Hurt
he's
someone
had a lot
bad
of,
okay, drunk driving.
Go ahead, Tony.
I don't disagree with that. I think when I don't know that the Chiefs can. Let's take this example. We can go back to the first example. Like, what would be the evidence that would lead them to know that it's a possibility that he can get into like a hit and run situation and get out and run?
I don't think they could know that ahead of time.
They couldn't know that ahead of time.
Yeah, you're right.
They couldn't. None of us knew about this situation, and we wouldn't have known had his ex girlfriend not released the pictures and gave us an IG post to kind of.
Can we be critical that they're bad judges of character, or can we give him credit for being able to seamlessly
I think that's fair to question that, right?
Yeah.
Because what was the one you named? You named
Kareem Hunt, Tyreek Hill.
Both of them were in trouble as Chiefs.
Yes.
So, I mean, yeah, I think that's possible. Now, in Kareem Hunt's situation, I don't know that he had any run-ins prior to his domestic.
I don't think so either.
His domestic thing. I just think it's hard to be able to pin it on teams. Now, that being said, what happens from here?
With him?
With him.
If you're the Chiefs and this is true, you cut him.
He's staying. He'll be on the team next year.
You think so? You think he'll be on the team?
I do. That's their pattern.
But do you think they should cut him?
Of course I do.
And by the way, the Chiefs aren't the only one. Aren't the only ones guilty of bringing in guys having multiple issues.
That's true.
Of course.
But they seem like they've done it more. The Browns are certainly on the list.
There was a time where the Cowboys were this team.
Yeah. Let me ask you this question, because I think this is something that could solve what we and Scraby are upset about. First of all, Scraby, I think everyone's going to agree with you. Right? For most of us in the real world, we're all going to agree with you.
In a rare occurrence.
I know. But you said you'd like it to be more like the real world, where if we were accused of something like this, we would at very least be put on hiatus from our job. These guys, you know, Stephon Diggs is going to be suiting up Sunday night and, under these charges. Would anybody be able to put a contract together with stipulations that say you get charged with a felony, we have the right to void your contract?
I would think teams would be all about that.
That's why I'm throwing it out there.
Yeah.
Because without
charge, not even convicted,
exactly.
Just charge.
You get charged with a crime of this magnitude, we have the ability to sit you out. And your answer is, Exactly right.
I don't think that would ever be able to happen.
They can't ever do it. So without that, we are not going to be able to clean this situation up. Scraby, you can't. What are you going to do? All these teams, you can't cut Rashee Rice just because of this. Even though that's what you want them to do.
If it's found to be true, mind you,
she hasn't taken this to the police. There's been
and that's a problem.
There's been no police report
because
at this point.
And that is
because
a problem.
That then at least gives the Chiefs some type of, or the NFL at that point, some type of leeway to do something. Yeah. But as long as this is just you and us three and everybody else in the world talking about it,
right?
What else can be done?
Here's one other thing that I want to throw out, because I'm trying to stick up for the team and the organization, and understanding that they are in a bit of a pickle here.
Big pickle.
If things happen.
Pickle?
Having said that, I have also been around enough organizations, not NFL, but plenty of them in many different levels, and I think they all operate similarly. Tony, you can either agree or disagree. I believe that most organizations, between the GM, the coach, the trainer, the equipment guy, the radio guy, the PR person, you just know who are good guys and who aren't.
For sure.
And I do believe that I think a guy like Rashee Rice, it had to be at least known in somewhere, somehow, that this guy may not be the all-time great guy. So at that point, can the Chiefs, before any of this even happens, the Chiefs just say, look, let's just trade this guy. Let's try to get a wide receiver in here that's a pretty good guy. I think there are some organizations that I think they can do it. I don't know how many really would do it, because that a lot of times is the quickest way to last place.
Yeah.
a bunch of good guys are great, but sometimes they're not the best guys or the best players.
And then someone last night.
Listen, good guys, bad guys, in terms, I mean, there's a line, right? I mean, like, there's some nasty dudes in between the football lines.
Right, they get off that.
That they can, transform thereafter, and they're not like that. That's not going to be everybody. I'm just not sure that it's not a game like baseball where it's every day. You kind of, these guys, we don't see them as nearly as much, right?
First of all, Monday, Tuesday on a normal week, and most of Wednesday, I don't think you see much
you
of NFL
at
players
all.
At all.
Right.
And it's so there's Thursday, one Friday, day a week. Saturday's
film day,
kind
Monday.
Of a,
Tuesday is
Tuesday's
day off.
Usually an off day. Right. Yeah. Wednesday is kind of treatment and a few
things.
We're
saying all this to say that it's hard to know who these guys really are, ultimately.
No, that's fair, too. It's really, I just think, I think Scraby's final thing and mine would be Rashee Rice, where there's too much smoke.
100%.
I just have to move on from him.
As a team, yes, you can make that decision.
But can I move on from him without owing him $80 million?
Well,
I don't know what the contract says.
He got that kind of guaranteed
money,
did he?
Well, you know what I mean,
but the one thing that bothers me is that he gets put on waivers. Some team's going to snatch him up like that.
And that's the thing. You can't police every team and make it.
You can't tell the Baylor coach not to sign a kid that's been in the NBA because it's legal and he did it.
Rashee Rice is not making much money.
Yeah, so I'm sure
this is his final year under his rookie deal, so he would have to. He's a free agent after this next season.
Yeah, so listen, they'll have if they have no issue or this pops up to be a real thing, as the young lady ends up reporting this and it becomes. I don't think I think they will move on from.
But
to
me, Tyreek Hill has already had more incidents than Rashee Rice, and we know he's going to play somewhere next year.
You know what the difference is? Tyreek Hill's been more productive.
What was the thing that Ryan Clark said? Because he worded it so perfectly.
Gosh, what did he say? How did he say it?
How he said it was right, but what he meant to say was, the better player you are, the more leeway you have to make mistakes and do things.
I'm watching The West Wing right now, guys. In one of the episodes, the chief of staff, it was found out that he did illegal pills. And so they were going through the White House and everybody. And so he was the one who was doing the drugs. And this girl goes, well, if I did the drugs, I would get fired, but he's not going to get fired because he is the chief of staff for the President of the United States. It's the same thing. It's like, if you could play football,
it took
me a long time to get there, but if you can play football, you can get away with it.
That dynamic works in all walks of life. I think we deal with it in our regular
days. Like, Tony would not get fired for something that me and you would do, Chris.
Now you try to bring drag me into this.
First
huh?
of all, he's a wonderful guy. He wouldn't do what you or I would do.
That's true.
One last thing on this, because there's three players that are coming to my mind, three athletes that have completely been tossed out of their sport and are untouchable. Trevor Bauer, Julio Urias, and the old Ravens running back.
Ray Rice.
What did those guys, I mean, I know what they did, but what was it about their situations that got them to the point where we kind of want to be with Rashee Rice or Tyreek Hill?
Again, and Ray Rice, I think, is twofold. He was kind of he was late 20s when I think that happened, running back time.
Yeah.
And it was right at the time where running backs were probably being, like, devalued the most. So, and he had a tape. We saw it happen, because remember when it first went down, no video. I think the suspension was a light suspension.
Couple of days, I think the league got in trouble for that.
The video came out and it changed everything.
Yeah, because once you see it,
to the other two.
But we don't have video of Arias's thing.
But it's baseball, and again, it goes back to it being every day. I get the sense, maybe not so much in Julio's situation, but certainly in Bauer's situation, because I've heard it around the league.
Right.
People had an idea of who he was, at least in their minds. And it was enough, it seems like, to scare all of these GMs / owners away from it.
I mean, and there's 30 teams that have had a chance to get him for a year and a half now.
Baseball's
and it's 0 for 30.
100%. Baseball is a much more conservative sport than any of the other ones that we're talking about.
Last thing is, Cole made this point on the chat. Trevor Bauer was not charged with anything, and I can't say the word proven, but it looks like he was set up a little bit. So he was never convicted of anything.
Again,
and he's been. No one wants him.
Again, the Indians. Excuse me, the Arizona Diamondbacks moved on him. The Guardians moved on him to the Reds. He had a great year, and then the Dodgers.
He was a Diamondback?
Yeah, he was drafted by the Diamondbacks.
I had no idea.
Yes. And so, listen, even as early as that, you were hearing things around the league just about how he was in the clubhouse. And now there'd be some guys, I'm sure, that will disagree with that. But that is something that you heard consistently. And I was not in any of those organizations. You heard that type of deal. So, I don't know. All those situations are probably a little bit different in each of them. But what I can tell you is baseball. Those type of things, you know, once that gets on your name, it is very, very tough to remove.
All right, speaking of baseball, one of the best in the business, our guy from CBS Sports, Matt Snyder, to catch us up on the grand old game when Gwen and Chris returns.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Matt Snyder is going to join us here shortly, CBS Sports. Talk a little baseball. Just had a visit from our boss, Adam Klug. Get you guys all set for spring training.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, Scraby and I actually have talked about this. He doesn't know we've talked about this. but our goal, my goal, I have my own goal this year. My own goal, Scraby, I think you'll be with me on this. Scraby and I always stay at a hotel nearby the Peoria Sports Complex. Separate rooms, so if anybody's wondering, okay, they would never take that risk by putting us in the same room. But Tony, and Scraby knows this, Tony lives in the lap of luxury in Peoria, right, Scraby?
I don't know about
he's
that.
He's got a, what is it, an Airbnb? He's got
He's got a moat. He's got an alligator that wears a suit.
Yeah.
Just lying.
So what I want to do this year, I want to find where Tony actually stays in Peoria. I want to see.
I think I know where it is.
You
I think
do?
You know where it is, too.
I have no idea where it is.
It's close by.
It's like right down the street.
Now,
right
I think Sam's a little bit further away.
Sam's further away. Who has nicer accommodations?
Probably Sam.
You think?
He books an Airbnb.
Yeah, Sam is.
That's true. He books his own.
Yeah, he's doing his own thing.
Real quick. Do you guys want to hear something really embarrassing?
What you got?
We were just talking about Dave Marcus a little bit ago. When I went to go call Matt Snyder, for some reason, I called Dave Marcus.
Oh, did you say hello?
And yeah, I guess so. He goes, hello. And I look at my phone. I'm like, is this the right number? I'm like,
you knew you messed up immediately.
I was like, oh no, I'm sorry, Dave. So I'm going to call Matt now.
Oh, so that wasn't Matt that you were loudly talking to 5 seconds ago?
No, that was Dave Marcus.
Yeah, I heard him over there scuffling after that.
I tell you what, it took me a while to learn how to talk with him getting guests on, because you hear him talking like normal voice.
What, Tony?
like that while you're trying to do the show. It's quite distracting, I must say.
It is. I was trying to tell the story of how I was going to go try to find your accommodations, and I was distracted by Mr. Scraby over there. Although, to his defense, that's the only thing he can do.
It's the design of the room.
Yeah, we don't have. We used to have. How many? We had Odd Thomas. We had Will. We had a couple of other intern type.
I can't remember his name right now. Oh, Brett. We had Brett.
Med Brett.
Brett was a trick.
Brett answered the phones. Brett would sit out there and answer the phones back in the days of phone calls.
Matt's on the line. I'll never forget when I said, sit there, please. Wait for Trevor Hoffman to call.
He was so mad.
And don't move, please.
Oh, my God.
And then Trevor Hoffman calls, and he's somewhere else. And I go, where are you?
Hey,
and he goes, I'm getting cake in the kitchen.
Scraby spent the first 5 years babysitting.
I know. I don't want to keep Matt waiting, but we got to get into it.
Let's bring up Matt Snyder, CBS Sports. Matt, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. You know, I never want to break up everybody laughing so much, so you don't have to feel urgency.
You're a funny guy, Matt. We know you'll carry on the laughter.
Yeah. Matt, how are you feeling about this offseason? It seems like it's a little bit slower, but there's still some pretty big names on the board.
Absolutely. You know, I was actually talking about it last night with Derek Gould, the Cardinals beat writer in St. Louis. And I said, if you remember back to 2011, 2012, everything was done at the end of the winter meetings except Prince Fielder. Like, that was it. Like, Jose Reyes and Mark Burley signed with the Marlins, which obviously didn't turn out great. But Albert Pujols and C.J. Wilson signed with the Angels on the last day of the winter meetings. And that was it, except for Prince Fielder. And now we just get these little trickles every once in a while. And you know, top four free agents, Kyle Tucker, Alex Bregman, Bo Bichette, Framber Valdez still out there. Cody Bellinger still out there, Ranger Suarez, JT Realmuto, Eugenio Suarez. And then on down to guys where they might sign a one-year deal, somebody like Zach Gallen or Lucas Giolito. But there are guys all over the board who could be helpful, whether it's Kyle Tucker who's looking for a mega deal, whether it's somebody who's pretty young, an infielder who looks like he could be one of the faces of the franchise in Bo Bichette, frontline starter in Valdez, or again, the guys who you might be able to take a chance on and get on the cheap, like a Giolito or you know, Zach Gallen.
Matt, is the impending specter of a potential work stoppage entering into any of this? Because I think Tony and I thought it might, and then some of the contracts got signed at the beginning, and we thought, well, maybe not. So what do you think?
It's possible. I mean, I'm sure that every single factor is taken into consideration by most of the front offices, like pretty much every front office except the Rockies, right? Like, everybody else thinks things through in their own way. But things have been gradually heading in this direction for a while. I go back to when Manny Machado and Bryce Harper were both free agents, and they both went into at least February. It was Manny in March.
Manny was in spring training. I know we were already
spring
there.
Training, yeah. Sure, yeah. And it's progressively, like, this year doesn't feel that abnormal to the last 2 or 3 years. We could go back a couple of years ago when it was the Boris Four. I believe we were calling the four guys that were Scott Boras clients that were still on the market heading into free agency. Yeah. It's kind of been headed in this direction, I think, for a while. It just with the CBA right around the corner, I'm sure it is a consideration for some teams. I'm sure it's a consideration for the players, too.
Yeah.
I mean, if you say Alex Bregman, let's take Bregman for example. He took a deal last year that was a three-year deal, but he had an opt-out after 1 year because he wanted to have another good year and say, now sign me to a long-term deal. There might be more urgency to get a longer-term deal this time around, first of all, because he's a year older. Now he's in his well into his 30s. Well, and he's 31. He's in his 30s. Mm-hmm. And the CBA might have new rules on free agency, on money. I don't think there will be a salary cap, but you don't know how things are going to be financially for the players. So there might be more urgency on the players than Tucker, Bregman, Bichette to get that long-term deal, that one big, huge contract of your career, knowing the CBA is right around the corner.
Yeah, no doubt. Matt Snyder joins us here, CBS Sports. I don't know if you saw the story today about the FanDuel teams all basically, canceling their contracts and either going to renegotiate or go to MLB. It seems like it's likely that they'll move to MLB to cover these games. And that'll give the MLB, I think, 16 teams that they are now controlling.
Yeah.
And it seems like Rob Manfred's grand idea, and I don't know how he's going to pull it off, is to somehow centralize all of it, which means the Dodgers would have to give up their rights, Yankees would have to give up theirs. I can't see any way in which that happens. What are your thoughts on that?
If they could make it work, which is kind of Pollyanna to believe that, but if they could, and there's teams with their own network, right?
Like
the Yankees and the Cubs have their own network. Why would they get – if somehow they could do that instead of a salary cap, that would be one way to somewhat level the playing field from the smaller markets against the mega markets, because you could give, you know, influxes of cash to the teams like the Pirates and then maybe put in some kind of salary floor to require them to spend that, which they have not done with revenue sharing, by the way. So I don't know why this would be any different unless you required them to do it. But like you said, Tony, man, give me a break. There's no way this is going to fly. I know there are more teams, but just off the top of my head, I know the Yankees and the Cubs and their mega market teams, and they have their own networks. Why in the world would they agree to anything remotely like this? Their argument would be, hey, we're a product in and of ourselves. We're one of the biggest brands in Major League Baseball. Why would we help support an inferior brand? Would be the talking point.
They already are upset about having
baseball would say back. Yeah, but our product is better when the playing field is more level.
Yeah.
And I guess they could, you know, the reply could be like, well, Blue Jays and Dodgers are two of the biggest spending teams in baseball, and the World Series ratings were pretty much okay, or you know, last year. So, what's the issue here?
Matt Snyder, one of the great baseball guys, and always nice enough to spend time with us here on the program from CBS Sports. We read his stuff all the time, as should you out there. And he also has a book coming out out, and we want to talk about that with him in a minute. But I want to ask you, who are these guys, Dane Perry and Mike Axisa? And can you talk to them so that they could explain to the rest of us why their off-season grades so far give out only one A and it goes to the White Sox? What the hell are these guys doing? What are you guys doing over there, Matt, at CBS Sports?
No comment. Wait. You know what? No comment. We give it. We solve everything in house. So I'll take care of that with the team meeting behind closed doors.
But they were, you know, excited for the White Sox. The White Sox fans would be thrilled to know this, that somebody believes in their immediate future. But
I haven't spoken with them, but I could venture a guess is that it's always on a scale of relativity, which is.
Yes.
Relative to expectations, what you think the White Sox are going to do.
That's
they've
right,
done
right.
a lot more than we would have expected.
Right, that's exactly
so
what they
it's
said.
Always on, it's always relative. Yeah. Like, and I haven't looked at them, but I would hope they – this. I guess the Cubs did the Edward Cabrera trade, but I would say before that I was pretty disillusioned as a Cubs fan, so I would hope their grade wasn't that good. But hey, the Cabrera deal was good.
To be
that
fair, I think good. They wrote it before the Edward Cabrera deal came out.
Okay, so leaving the White Sox out, because as you said, it's probably relative. Who
it's
has
relative.
Had the best offseason then? Like what teams that matter have had the best offseason?
I don't think they're done yet, but I like how the Blue Jays have been capitalizing so far. I still think they need one more bat in there because of the loss of Bo Bichette, whether it's bringing Bichette back and moving Andrés Giménez to the bench or whether it's Kyle Tucker in the outfield. I'm expecting them to get it done with one of those two guys, and then they would be my winner because they have to make some big moves right on the heels of going to the World Series instead of sitting on your hands, instead of you go back to a couple of years ago when the Diamondbacks and Rangers were in the World Series. Neither one of them did anything after they got to the World Series. And it's like, now's the time to strike. You just made a run to the World Series. I love how the Blue Jays are not only staying aggressive, but also they obviously made a lot of money last year. They're putting that back into the product to continue to keep those good times going. And I absolutely love that.
All right, Matt, we've hit you over the head enough with MLB baseball questions for the offseason. Tell us a little bit about the book that you have out now. Great read.
Oh, thank you. It's been out for about a month. It's called The Leadoff Man. It's available on Amazon.com, or you could just go to my social media accounts, and I have a link to it pinned there. I started thinking about it in the 2024 playoffs with the Padres, with Luis Arraez leading off, and then looking at the Phillies with Kyle Schwarber leading off. And I thought they could not be two more different leadoff hitters. And that gave me the idea of there has been a lot of evolution in how people think about the leadoff hitter. And it was on display there because Arraez would be a guy who would have been leading off in the 1920s. Schwarber would have been somebody who, if you tried to lead him off in the 1920s, you would have gotten fired on the spot. So it shows how far we've come. I dive into the history. I go through the evolution. I went through some exercises, and we talked about this last month. I went through some guys who could have been leadoff hitters who were not, including Tony Gwynn. I couldn't believe it was like less than 20 times he led off in his career.
Yeah.
He would have been such a good leadoff man. And I even talked about the guys with power like Barry Bonds. I mean, the 1993 Giants batted Bonds fifth all year. Okay, if you want to bat Will Clark third and Matt Williams fourth, there are arguments in favor of that. But don't put the best hitter in the league fifth. Bat him first to second in front of those guys. So I do some exercises like that. And then I conclude with, I have great moments, some of the most fun moments. I actually had to add a bunch in the playoffs this year because there were a ton of great leadoff moments in the playoffs. And then I conclude with rankings. I do the top 20, but I also do honorable mention by era, and it's over 85 guys. I like to say it's one of those things I like to say that where a lot of that is just remembering dudes who hit leadoff all through the years who were very good leadoff men.
That sounds just fun to do the book.
Yeah,
I know it's a lot of work.
It was a lot of fun. Like it was work, but as I told a lot of people when I was getting close to being done, it was a labor of love. Like I did it in my spare time, but it didn't feel like work. It was just fun.
Would a team be real quick before we? Would a team be dumb right now to bat Ricky Henderson lead off?
Or would
they be dumb not to? What?
Absolutely not. He's the greatest ever. Okay. Of course, you got to lead him off.
Okay.
Well, the volume that he hit in leadoff,
right?
It's unbelievable how many more at bats he had than everybody else, and he still had an over 400 on base percentage. And he still stole so many bases, and he's the best ever at scoring runs.
Yeah.
And that's the name of the game. You got to lead that guy off.
Yeah. Okay. The only one who had his own run. He had a Ricky run. I mean, basically get on base, still first, still second, still third, score on a base hit, score on a ground out.
And his record-setting run here in San Diego on a home run where he slid into home plate after he rounded the bases.
Matt, appreciate the time as always. Love catching up with you.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Matt Snyder, CBS Sports, joining us. Always a fun listen, man. He's Chris said it. We read his articles all the time. Remember, all guests on 97.3 The Fan join us on the David P. Shapiro Fan Hotline. David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys, helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. Let's get to break. On the other side, live from the Bill House Studios, we'll have the Daily Gambit. We know how.